Hi everyone, and welcome to the Imago Think Tank. This is Dr. Tammy Nelson. I'm your moderator for today. Today is May 13, 2015, and we have a great guest with us today, Dr. Sarah Yogan, and she's going to talk with us today about her new book, A Couple's Guide to Happy Retirement. And when it comes to retiring, many people forget to prepare for the changes it will have on their marriages. And so I think this is a great focus for our purposes as Imago therapists. Dr. Yogan is going to discuss the problems that many couples face after retirement, along with how couples can make the transition smoothly. So Sarah Yogan is a psychologist providing individual and couples therapy. For the past 3 decades, she's also conducted workshops, written, lectured, and been interviewed professionally about a wide range of work family topics. She's a former Northwestern University faculty member, and she's been featured as an expert in Newsweek, Time, Money, and USA Today. So welcome, Sarah. I'm so happy that you're with us today.
I'm delighted to be a guest.
Yeah, I think it's a fabulous topic and one that, you know, some people are really on top of sort of financially, and some people try to ignore it and hope it goes away. Some people are terrified and anxious about, and you have a really interesting spin around this topic, and I think it's just a great idea to talk about this with couple therapists on our think tank today. So I really am grateful that you're here today, and I want to welcome you. And I see from your background that, you know, you've worked with couples as well, and you talk about work and family topics, so it's a good crossover for you. Can you tell us a little bit more about you and about why you wrote the book?
Sure. I am a psychologist. I do individual and couples therapy, as you said so, and in my prior life, as I call it, in my academic life, when I was at Northwestern, my area was the way people combine work life and family life. So in some way, the impact of work on the family was something that I was interested in the 80s. You know, I wrote a lot about dual career couples and made the distinction between dual earner and dual career. So the work about retirement came kind of like naturally for me. What happened is that in my practice, I started getting clients that were in their early 60s or late 60s that were in a very stable and long marriages, and suddenly many problems occur. Likewise, I had clients that they were in their 40s or early 50s or something like that, and they reported how stressed they are about their own parents that retired and were having a lot of individual and marital difficulties. So I naively said, why won't you tell your parents to get a book and prepare, because there are so many books on retirement. And then I was told, but Sarah, there is nothing that deals with the psychological aspects of that. And when I started looking more deeply into that, I realized that with all the many, many books about retirement, they mostly deal with, and people put a lot of time and energy and resources into financial planning for retirement, but they totally neglect the psychological planning. Furthermore, they are totally unaware about the impact of that retirement is going to have on the marriages. In the same way that the birth of the first child totally changed marital dynamics, likewise, retirement does that. There is some awareness about emptiness, but I think that we need to increase our awareness of how retirement is having a similar impact.
Yeah, I mean, it makes so much sense. It's sort of a developmental stage, whether it's both partners or one partner retiring. It's definitely a new phase of life.
Absolutely. And research findings are showing that 1/3 of retirees experience depression. And in the first 2 years of retirement, there is a high level of marital conflict and low marital satisfaction that is being reported by both gender, by both men and female. And one new phenomenon is being called the gray divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And the gray divorce is a phenomenon that is used to describe people that are in 50, 55 and older that are getting divorced. And what we see is very interesting, that while overall divorce rate declined, it rises among the 50 plus and also among the 65 and plus. In 1990, 1 in 10 were 50 and over that were divorced. In 2009, it climbed to 25%, and by 2011, it's 28%. If we look at the 65 and older, there are about, in 2011, at least 15% are divorced and another 2% are separated. So it's really climbing among this population. And we also know that there is a increased level of unhealthy alcohol consumption among at this age group. So all those are showing that retirement is not as easy as people expected it to be.
Yeah, and is that because of the stressors of the economic factors, or just being home with each other? Or what are the common problems that you see with people that are struggling?
I guess let me look at it as some misconception that people have about retirement, and I think that as therapists, particularly the younger therapists, need to be aware of that. One misconception is it's going to be easy. I know how to do leisure. I know how to be on vacation. So what's the big deal about it? And in the book, I talk about stages of retirement. And indeed, the first stage is, I call the stage of the honeymoon. And you feel like, my God, I can do what I want to do whenever I want to do it. I can do all the projects, you know, putting photos in album, cleaning the attic, do all the travels that I wanted. It feels wonderful. And that stage usually lasts for people anywhere between 6-9 months up to even some 2 years. But when that stage is over, comes what I call the disenchantment state. And there is an awareness, my God, I'm in my 60s or 70s, I can have another 20 years to live or even more. What am I going to do with all that? I finished the project, I did some of the travel. There got to be more to life than just waiting for death to arrive. So what people need to know is that they ought to plan for that and start thinking about what they want to do, how they're going to feel productive and engaged and fulfilled and have a structure to their life and to the week and to the day. So that's one thing that is need to be done on a personal level to avoid feeling useless and unproductive and having more social context. The social context is sometimes more of a problem for men, that many of their relationships revolve around work, so they have colleagues. But it's not the deep friendship that sometimes women have with sharing all their feelings. So after a while, they don't feel that they belong with their colleagues, and they feel isolated and would like to have more contact. The more time together with the spouse is also a curse and a blessing. You know, the subtitle of the book, for my book, is For Better or For Worse, But Not For Lunch. because indeed, we need to give each other space. Many marriages, the wife very often kind of adapted her availability around his schedule, because men tended to travel more, to work longer hours. So I've had couples where he is not accustomed to be on his own at home because she's always there and they were doing stuff. At the same time, she has her routine and she has her friends, and she would like to pursue that. I had one situation which she, once a week, had a lunch with four other friends, but she was doing it for years. And he resented being left at home, so she took him along, and guess what? The friends didn't like it. It totally made the dynamic of their meeting, the female meetings, very different. So the couple had to address that. At the same time, he wanted her to join him to go to Home Depot because he enjoyed that, and that definitely was not of interest for her. So what couples need is to find a way to start talking about individual goals, mutual goals, and go into the details of that. Because a lot of domain in their life would need to be renegotiated.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah, I know from myself, my husband took early retirement, and, you know, he always worked out of the house, but he, you know, would travel, and he would have meetings, and so he was in and out, and then suddenly he was just in. And it was definitely a major change, and now he's decided, you know, to go take another job, just for his own, I think, sanity. Because he realized, you know, he was too young to retire. He needed something to do. But the idea of, you know, having an easier or smoother transition into this life stage, how do you think that as couples therapists we can help recognize some of those signs and symptoms of not just conflict, you know, which might be common as people transition, but real problems, and how do we help people through that?
Okay, so the first point that I want to make is that we know the transitions are difficult. So helping our clients to realize that it is going to be difficult and they shouldn't expect it to be so easy because we know how to do leisure and we know how to do vacation is the first step. So kind of like normalize the fact that it might bring some bubbles to the surface. Another thing that I want to stress is that marriages that have been basically a solid marriage in which there is good communication and the spouses are able to resolve differences and disagreements, after a while, you know, would weather the storm and would be okay. However, as therapists, we know that there are many couples in which they don't know how to resolve differences, and it becomes a power struggle, every little thing. So for those couples, what retirement does is it intensifies the underlying problem that has been there. I want to give an example of a couple that I worked with. He was a consultant, a very successful one, a partner in one of the largest consulting companies in the U.S., and he was traveling domestically and internationally, staying most of the week was not home, maybe home on weekend, but then they were busy with children and later grandchildren. And he was basically a thinking introvert, what I would call. He was okay with, you know, the contact that he had with his wife. His wife, all those years that he was working so hard, was hoping that when they will retire, there will be more open intimacy, more communication, more contact. Guess what? He retires, and he's quite content, not realizing that for her, it was a huge disappointment that he's not more open and more loving and more communicative, because that's his way. So her resentment about all the years in which she kind of like swallowed and repressed her need for more contact, more deeper contact, came very, very angrily to the surface. And they, for once, had to deal with the difference between them that was there for all those years. So as therapists, we need to be aware that sometimes it's long patterns that have been there that, because of more time together, are bringing it more to the surface and help couples. Other examples or other issues are that the more time together bring to the surface, even if it's not long-standing issues that were not resolved, kind of like irritating traits. You've been married, I'm married, you know, as much as I love my husband, there is sometimes he goes on my nerves. I'm sure that you feel something very similarly. So I had the more time together and hearing, I don't know, the same joke being repeated again and again, or other kind of like characteristic. I remember I had the couple where he retired and she had a routine that in the morning, they had three daughters, so she would call the three daughters and find out what's going on, kind of like get the line for the day, and then she had two very close friends and she would have contact with them. So there was five phone calls in the morning. And in each one of them, it was basically the same story of what are you going to do and what you're doing, and da-da-da-da. He had conniption fit. How can you say the same thing again and again and again? And he was very upset by how repetitive she is. And she felt at that time very invaded. This has been my routine. This is how I keep in contact with the people that I care about. Why do you put your nose into that? So what starts coming up, the more time together, can bring more criticism to the surface of lack of approval of each other ways. And that needs to be resolved. Another example is that, I think I use it in the book, he was a quality control engineer. And for years he was not pleased that she's not organized enough. So after he retired, one time she went to tennis and was gone for a few hours. And when she came back, he rearranged the pantry alphabetically. While she had it kind of like according to subject, vegetables, you know, jams, you know, whatever thing, and was able to find a way. Of course, he was very upset. And he was very upset because he thought, I'm helping you to find stuff more easily. I'm helping you to be organized. Why do you refuse my gift? So as therapists, we can chuckle, but we can definitely be aware and be of how what that brings into the surface for the couples, and that they need to, you know, take that into account and help them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. Totally got it. Makes total sense.
Yeah. They, you know, what? Another thing the therapists need to be aware of is that even if both spouses or both partners, they don't want to talk only about marriages, any long-term relationship for me, committed relationship is included in here. Even if both of them retired at the same time, each one of them might take different time to adjust to retirement. Some people do it faster and some take it more slowly. particularly dealing with the issues on a personal level of what is my way to feel productive and useful. As you said, your husband is going back to work, and I have no objection of people going back to work. I have a chapter there or a section there where I talk about bridge employment, where people worked in one thing and then start either something similar or completely different as a way of not finding a way to be okay with being fully retired because it makes them feel so useless. So each people can take a different way to deal with that. Also, what retirement does is, even though we are all aware that we are here on Earth for a limited time, it brings the whole issue of death much more to the surface. So people often start thinking about, how do I want my legacy to be? How do I want to be remembered? And that is not an easy subject to deal with. So as therapists, even as couple therapists, we can help people deal with that, because in the book I talk about different domains that are problematic. So let's see if one of the domain in which I want to be remembered is a very helpful parent and grandparent, and I want to spend time with the children and grandchildren and go to their different games. As we know, kids nowadays have so many activities that they're involved with, while the other spouse is saying, no, I want to travel now. I want to take care of my own things, and I don't want my weekend to be spoiled because the child has a soccer game somewhere and we all need to go and watch that. So being in alignment about how much energy and resources we want to devote to children and grandchildren, and that goes with regard to money as well as with regard to time. Do I want to babysit once a week to help my working daughter and her spouse? Or do I want to have the freedom and I don't want to commit, every week a full day to babysitting and expect my spouse to do it with me, or to kind of like be okay with me not being available to do whatever social or other stuff that we can do. I talk about how housework can be a nightmare in retirement. As much as it seems like such a trivial issue, if the husband said, you know what, you always want to help more in the kitchen and to be more involved, I will take cooking now. And then he starts cooking, but when he cooks, he uses every pots and pans, and the kitchen is a mess afterwards. She said, thank you, but I don't want you to cook because, you know, it's not worth it for me. Then he feels kind of like unappreciated, then I can never please you. You want me to cook? I cook. It's not good enough for you. You know, sound familiar, right, as therapists? Sometimes we get that. On the other hand, if she doesn't welcome his cooking, she might feel that he's stepping on her turf. So here he's trying to find something to be more engaged and involved and contributing, but she resents it. So they got to be some discussion and alignment that for couples that it becomes a power struggle. As therapists, we can definitely help them with that. Money, of course, is a huge issue because there is awareness that it's not coming in anymore. And in the book, I talk about people that have different money styles. I'll talk right now in this call on the two big ones. some people are spenders. For them, money is fun and freedom, while other people are savers, and for them, money is security and stability. At retirement, sometimes the style intensifies. The spender becomes even bigger spender. This is my last chance, so let's go on vacation and fly first class and go to the best hotels. So there is much more spending. Sometimes it's the opposite. Wow, I was a spender before, but now I have to be fearful and, watch out that the money would last long enough. So that can bring issues to the couples. Even if they were aligned and money was not an issue for them prior to retirement, because it is more limited now, the resource is more limited, there might be some different expectation of how to use it, how to give it to the kids, how to will it. Do you will it equally? Or do you, there's some kind of a static on the lines. Do you hear it, by the way?
Yes, there's a lot of static. There's sort of like papers and staticky.
Okay, fine.
There's, I'm gonna change something on the computer. And I'm gonna mute my phone in case there's some bad stuff while you talk, okay?
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
So, let's say you have two children. Both are married and both have their own children, so you have grandchildren. But guess what? One child is a lawyer. He is married to a financial planner. The other is a daughter. She's a teacher, and her husband is a social worker. So we can see right away from the different professions that each couple have that there would be a huge discrepancy in the income that each couple has. So what do you do? Do you give equally and do you will equally? Or do you say to yourself, the children of the lawyer and the financial planner have everything that they want, we need to give more to the teacher and the social worker? Would love giving them more would be perceived as we love them more. We don't mean to convey that message. So people have different values about fairness and what's right. And I strongly suggest that couples first talk about this sensitive topic among themselves, between themselves, and only when they reach a consensus, they bring it up with the kids, their own grown-up kids. So there are quite a few topics that can be become very difficult, but when we resolve them, it indeed can be the golden years.
Yeah, and that's, I think, the goal, is to have that vision of what those golden years mean to each person, right? It sounds like sometimes the implicit assumption is that, you know, my golden years will mean this and your golden years will mean that. I mean, what we see couples all the time, I'm sure you see this as well, where, you know, my retirement is going to mean I'm going to finally get to sit on the front porch, and your retirement vision is that we finally get to travel around the world.
Right.
So that vision issue becomes a problem. Yeah.
And how can you reconcile both and make sure that each one of your needs will be addressed? And again, I want to give another example. A couple that saw that they're very aligned because they both want to travel and both had the vision that they want to try to travel in an RV. And they really had means. So when they start talking about the details, as we say, sometimes the devil is in the details, his vision was that they will buy or rent, I don't remember, the RV, and travel in Europe for about a year, different countries. She couldn't believe it. because she didn't want to be away from the children and the grandchildren for that long. She thought, yeah, we'll travel in France for about a month, and then we come back home and stay home for a few weeks, and then we fly to Italy and do Italy and fly back. So for her, the idea to be away for so long, even though it felt that they are aligned, they both want to travel in an RV, was totally unacceptable. So again, taking each other idea into account, he wanted the freedom to be able to, if you find a spot by, you know, Lake Clago that you like very much, then you can stay there longer and you're not being tied up with flight and other concern. And she said, no, I have my life with all those social contexts. I don't want to give it up. How do you reconcile? How do you make them work? I'm 9 out of 10. As therapists, we know that it's not the item that people fight about, but it's the psychological meaning that they attribute to the item. And if, as therapists, we help them understand the psychological meaning that they attribute to the item, that is being attributed to the item, and there is goodwill and consideration and love, then people find a way to make it work.
Is there anything else that you might recommend for, say, a couple therapist and a mago therapist who might be working with a couple this afternoon? What do you think is the primary thing that they should try, that they should try to remember, that they should do in the first session? You know, I always ask this of, in the think tank, for a therapist listening who's going to work with a couple this afternoon, what do you think they should know?
I guess, first of all, what brought the couple in? Is it the retirement per se, or is it something that was there all along and the retirement just brought it up more to the surface? That's number one. Number two, to, as I said before, to normalize that this is an important phase in life and a transition, and as many other transitions in life, it's not always smooth, and it's sometimes a little bit bumpy. And remember to take each other's wishes into consideration, because very often there is no right or wrong. They are both right, but how compatible they are is the issue.
Okay, great. No, that's perfect. Good. And is there anything else that you want to make sure that you let people know before we open it up for questions or comments?
Just going over that, you know, dealing with that on both individual issues in terms of how do I feel useful. I'm a big proponent of volunteering. I think that that is something that can be very helpful to people to feel useful. Volunteering, mentoring, using the life skill and expertise that you had over the years by providing it to organizations that you care about or to other people is, you know, wonderful way to do it. And sometimes people say, I feel I get more than what I give. And that's a wonderful thing. Another phrase that I like is, it's really important to engage as we age. And I really think that that's important, and we can engage on an individual level and also engage on a couple level. Another topic that sometimes comes when it comes to retirement is relocation, and that can bring some differences. Some people, I live in the Chicago area, so there are people that want to either move to warmer climates, either the whole year or at least the winter months? How do we go about it? I don't think that just packing and moving is a good step to all couples. Some couples can do it in a more gradual way, going first for a few weeks before you decide to sell your home and move to another locale is a better way, because you need to think about social contact, your physicians, a lot of other consideration besides just the fact that you don't want to live in the big house that costs you so much and you want to be in a warmer climate. So that's another issue that is coming up. Sexuality often comes up also for people, but it's in the domain not necessarily of just retirement, but of aging in general. Yes, as we retire, it doesn't have to be only at night, because we can do it in the morning or in the afternoon, but expectation about sexuality and sexuality needs to be addressed as people age. So if there's any of those topics that you want to go a little bit more into depth with, I'll be more than happy to, but I cannot cover everything.
No, and people should buy your book.
Absolutely. The feedback that I got about the book is that each chapter is organized about a different subject, like find the purpose, time together and apart, housework, money, social relationships. And in each chapter, I bring the latest research findings, summarizing kind of like with clinical anecdote, and most important, since it's a self-help book, at the end of each chapter, I give questions that individual and couple start asking themselves and start the discussion about it. Because what's very important is to start planning psychologically for it a little bit before you just retire. One more thing I want to say, I forgot to mention that it's really important when as therapists is to look into what caused the retirement. I mean, was it a forced, unexpected one? Let's say the company was bought and you were let go. Or was it something that was planned and was voluntary and something that we were looking forward to? Because whether it's forced or whether it's voluntary really impacts greatly the adjustment to retirement. So just the fact that somebody is retired doesn't mean that it's the same if the factors behind it are different. So I'm glad that I remembered to mention that component.
No, and I think that's a very good point. If you go, and also if you're going out at the top of your game, or if you're going out feeling like you're going to retire, but you're kind of pushed out, or you're kind of on the downslope from where you were, and certainly, where you are in your career makes a big difference.
Absolutely. And that's where, by the way, sometimes differences between husband and wife come to play. Since women tend to be somewhat younger, or went full trend to the labor force, let's say, after the kids left home, then very often he's ready to retire, but she still have another promotion or another project or another thing that she wants to complete and finish. And what they start arguing is about the timing. And he is fed up, he's burnt out, he's ready to quit, but he wants her to quit and she's not ready yet. So that can also be sometimes an issue that as therapists we need couples to negotiate and not, make it become a very difficult topic.
And one other question I have for you before we open it up is, what do you see in the differences between people recovering from other jobs and therapist recover. I mean, recovering with a man, what does that mean? Retiring. do you see a difference either from private practice or just therapists in general in the way that they retire and their issues?
I think that there are many therapists that, like myself, that love what we do. And as I keep on saying, as long as the mind is working, I'm willing to see people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's my way of not facing retirement, and I'll own that, and I continue to feel useful and valued. But there are other people that feel that they have enough. So there are many people I can see that among people who are in academia. Professor emeritus, and they keep on writing, and they keep on doing reviews for journals. So it really is more an individual issue of how much you love the work that you do and how much you are able to find something else that you feel very engaged and passionate about. I know people that retired from academia or from whatever they were doing before and find something else that they're very, very passionate about. You know, somebody started a no-kill dog shelter in her area. You know, so people find something, they use their skills and expertise, but in a completely different domain. Again,
yeah.
They are engaged. The key issue is being engaged. We know that I don't have the statistic that it is helps with longevity and with health issues. We feel healthier, we feel happier, we live longer. Yeah, if we find a way to be engaged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that. If you're ready, we can open it up and see if there's any questions or comments. Sarah, if you can just turn on the little announcement. So if you have a question for Sarah, Dr. Yogan, you can ask her to say your name. You might have to hit star 6 first. Just say your name and shout it out. That's fine. If there's no questions, is there a website or a place that people can contact you, Dr. Yogan, to find out about your book and to find out about your work? They may want to contact you directly.
Oh, absolutely. I have a website, sarayogev.com, and it's my name, SarayoGev. And they can contact me via that, or they can email me. I'm at sarayogev@yahoo.com, or call my voicemail, 847-470-1925. I'd be more than happy to answer to any of those contacts.
Oh, nice. That's very generous of you. And can you tell them one more time how they can find your book? I'm sure they can get it on your website. Can they also get it on Amazon or other places?
It's A Couple's Guide to Happy Retirement. The publisher is Familius, and it came out in October of 2012, I believe.
Fabulous. And is there anything else as we close that you want to make sure you tell people? Do you have any last-minute advice for people who are considering when they should retire or what they should look for in their own lives when they're making that big decision?
I think that my overall advice is start planning ahead of time. Don't expect to find fulfillment on the golf course. And, you know, for some people it is, but for most people it's not. So start thinking about what is it that you can be doing would make you feel that the day was worthwhile. What is it that you want to be doing with your spouse? What is it that you don't want to be doing with your partner, that you need the space alone because you don't want to feel too invaded? How an ideal day or ideal week, ideal month, ideal year would look for you? And does your vision kind of like matches or is compatible with your partner's vision? How can you make it work? So start thinking about all those issues before they happen helps a lot. Rather than, some people don't have that luxury, you know, you will let go and you are 67 years old and you say, okay, that's it. The company was bought, it's my time, so they did not prepare at all. But as you come to what we call retirement age, 60, some, you know, being able to be eligible for Social Security and all that, I really strongly suggest to people to start thinking about those issues and talk about them openly, because again, there is no right or wrong. There's what's right for your relationship.
Perfect. That's a perfect place to end. So I want to just thank you so much for being with us today. I hope everyone will take a look for your book and buy it online at Sex Fair Yoga. And just tell them the title one more time.
A Couple's Guide to Happy Retirement.
And what's the subtitle again? That was so great.
For better or for worse, but not for lunch.
That's so funny. Well, thank you, Sarah. Thank you so much for being with us today, and thank you for writing a great book. And I appreciate all the great advice and the really interesting book that you wrote.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. So
Thank you. Thank you for everyone who's listening. And please go to the schedule for the Imago Think Tank for the rest of the month of May and June. We will break for July and August. You can always download the past recordings of the Imago Think Tank. And remember, if you have speakers of interest or authors, you can always contact me or Sarah Terry at Imago International. Thank you so much, and thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.